Good morning. How we doing? It's good. It's good. Great class this morning in the book of Isaiah. Amen. It's cool to see that God has a plan the whole time. And he isn't just like, well, I guess I'll do that, or I guess this will work. He has the plan already out for us. And yesterday was really cool hearing Don Burrows. Who got to go yesterday? There was a good number of us, right? Yeah. So look who raised their hand so you could talk to them if you didn't go. But it was so practical, and it was so rooted in the scriptures. And for some reason, that really blew my mind. You know, there's things that, like, psychology and counseling, you're like, well, I guess that's, you know, that used to be like voodoo. You know, like, back in the day, people would look at that and like, oh, that's kind of weird. But it's so rooted and established in the scriptures. Mental health is all right here. It's all right here. And that's so cool. My wife went to school for many, many years. And at the end of her master's and specialist degree, she realized it was all right here. So it's okay. That's still, you know, it's good. But, you know, he was talking about his process that he does with his clients. And he said, I do N plus one. And so N is where they are now. And the plus one is that one little step that you want to go. And so he's talking about that one thing that you can add, and then you readjust, okay, N plus one from there, and so on and so forth. And I really felt like, I was like, this guy is teaching me how to disciple someone. This is like 101 discipling time. Like, here we are right now. Now let's take one step at a time. So it was just really cool to know that he gets to use his ministry experience, and now he said like 70% of his clients are out of the church, which is awesome. He's doing these things with them. You know, it was very practical, and if you weren't able to make it, talk to someone who was. They have notes. I don't think it was recorded, but it was such a great time that we had. And, you know, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. Yeah, it's such a great theme for the church, and I love it. And there's a great book that I recommend. It's by Tom Jones. It's called The Kingdom of God. Volume 1 and Volume 2. We're waiting on Volume 3. He says he's going to write it. We're waiting on it, Tom. But they're incredible books. I can truly tell you that my life was changed after reading those two books. And the reason for that is because it was teaching me about the kingdom of God. And that is what we want to do. We want to teach about the kingdom of God because it changes lives. You can't learn about the kingdom of God and not be changed. It's like coming in contact with God and being the same person. It does not happen. You will be changed forever. And so I highly recommend those books. They're incredible, and it changed my life. I think about the life I had before the kingdom. Think about your life before the kingdom. You know, I was looking for something, but I didn't know what. And I'm sure you can relate to me with that. Like, there's got to be something more. I just don't know what it is. I wanted purpose. And I felt aimless in my life. Like, I guess you just go to school and then get a job and have a family. I'm like, is that what life really is? I wanted to be a part of something greater than myself. But I didn't know where to turn to. Then I was walking one day in a field, and I stumbled upon some treasure. And I sold everything I had and I bought that field so that I could have the kingdom of God. You know, I'm not the only one who was like that, right? We were minding our own business, going about our lives. And we weren't seeking God. We weren't going, okay, God, show me the answers. Now, some of us did, but most of us were heathens and, you know, really selfish people that loved ourselves. And so we're just doing our thing. And then God just showed up. And he says, here I am and here's my kingdom. And it changed us forever. Our lives have never been the same. And hopefully they'll never go back to the way they were. We are not the same people that we used to be. And our lives continue to change decade by decade, year by year, and day by day. The characteristics of our lives have changed. You know, we used to be characterized as certain things, right? Maybe you were known as timid or shy, prideful, selfish, abusive, a hater, greedy, lazy, or hard-headed, conceited, a gossip. But now that we are in the kingdom of God, we are no longer characterized by those things. The title of my lesson today is Kingdom Characteristics. What are some characteristics of those in the kingdom? You know, I have a short list, and I want you to make your own. I've been thinking about this for probably the last week or so, and I want you to make your own list of characteristics of those in the kingdom. You don't have to do that right now because you need to listen to me. But do it on your own. And here's some of the things I thought of. I thought of humble, loving, bold, right? The righteous are as bold as lions. I thought of selfless, countercultural. We are not like the world around us. We're different. We stand out. I thought of righteous and meek. What is your list going to be? And what in your list do you match up to? You know, I've been making this list and I'm like, man, no, I really got to be more like this. I really need to focus on this. I really need to be more bold. I really need to be more humble. Because I want to have characteristics of the kingdom. I don't want to be the odd person out in the kingdom. Like, why is this guy here? He's so different than all of us. Right? We should do that when we're in our workplace or around people, right? But not in the kingdom. We should be with everybody else. We should not stick out like a sore thumb. So this morning I want to talk about three characteristics of those in the kingdom. First characteristic. Klutzy. First characteristic is mobile. Mobile. Turn to John chapter 3. Characteristic of the kingdom is mobile. John chapter 3. We're going to start here in verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. We're going to stop right there. So here we go. I have this guy Nicodemus, a Pharisee who came to Jesus. And he told him that he believed that Jesus is from God because of the things that he was doing. And Jesus, I guess he just kind of ignores that, right? And he's just like, I declare to you that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is taken aback by this. And he's a little confused. He's like, well, how can that even happen physically? What are we talking about here? And Jesus said, you must be born of water and spirit. Now, I'm not going to talk about that part, entering the kingdom of God. If you don't know what that is, you have the Bible. Study it out. Look at other scriptures. It makes very clear sense. But I want to look at verse 8. Jesus said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
Jesus is saying, if you're in the kingdom, if you're born of the Spirit, you're like the wind. You're mobile. You're free. You're out there. You're not stuck and concreted in one place. He says you're like the wind. Those of the kingdom are moving around. They're not stagnant. They're not in one place forever. They are like the wind. You were over there, and now you're over here. And your family may go, where are you going next? And why? Raise your hand if you move to a different city for the kingdom. All right. What about a different state? Anybody move to a different state for the kingdom? What about a different country? Amen. Come on. Moving to different countries. Yeah, that's what it is to be in the kingdom. Now, I'm not saying you have to move a lot in order to be a disciple. I'm not saying you have to move a lot in order to be in the kingdom. I don't think Jesus is saying that either. But he does say they are mobile. He does say that they're not concreted in. And this is where I'm staying, and no one can move me, no matter what. He's saying they're like the wind. So what does it look like for us? You know, I have a kid, I have a wife, and I have a job. I just can't, like, pack up tomorrow and be like, well, let's put a dot on the map and let's go there. So what does it look like for us, right? Have you been to every city in Gwinnett? I haven't. There's 22 cities in Gwinnett County. How about each weekend, you just go to one of the cities, and you just find a park there, and you walk around. And as you walk around, you talk to some people. That's mobile, right? That's being like the wind. It's not, well, it's Saturday, so I got my wake up, do my little relaxation, watch my little TV time, catch up on my DVR. That's my routine. I hang out, and then I go to my one lunch spot or my one dinner spot, and that's what we do. It's like, no. Come on, guys, there's so much. There's so many places to go. There's so many people to see. There's so many families to reach out. Move about in your community and reach people. That's what it looks like for us. Doing different things that you may not like doing to reach people. That's like being like the wind. Like, oh, I really don't like that. Do it. Do it and be about it. For those who work in a large company, you know, I work when I was in Gainesville, Florida, I had 4 coworkers. So I didn't have a large company that I worked for. But some of us have large companies. So how about you go to the other side of your company for lunch and eat with people you don't normally eat with or that you've never met? Go to a different break room. It may take some stairs and walk in a little further. But hey, be mobile. You've ate lunch with those people for 15 years. Go meet some new people. All right? That's what it looks like for us. Be spontaneous. Be mobile. It makes life more interesting, by the way, when you do that. It doesn't become a rut. I hate ruts. Oh, I can't stand it. Kudos to you who have 9-to-5. It drove me crazy. I was like, get me out of here. I can't do it. I need something new every day. You know, are you mobile? Are you movable? Or are you too tied down in this world to be like the wind? Do you have too much debt? And it's like, well, I can't be mobile because I have to have this many hours a week in order to pay off this stuff I bought. You have too much debt. What else? Things that can hold you back. Do you have too many worries? Like, well, what will people think if I just go to the other break room and I don't know them? What will they think? What will my friends and family think if I'm like this weird mobile person that's moving around throughout Gwinnett County and just doing all this weird stuff and I have no routine in my life? What are people going to think? How is this going to work? Do you have too much stuff? And if you had to move, that would be a huge undertaking. You would need the whole church to help you move. You got that garage that doesn't have a car in it. It's got your stuff. Apparently. You know, I told my wife yesterday, I was like, we drove by the storage unit place. I was like, I want to own one of those. People will pay you to hold their garbage. This is like the easiest money-making scheme. You just have a room and they put stuff in it and they pay you. It's so simple. But do we have too much stuff? And we're just like, I can't be mobile because I have too many things. Reduce it. Sacrifice to be mobile and to be free. You know, you might not have the new car, but you don't have the car payment. Amen. Right? You might not have the coolest stuff, like the new iPhone 6 Plus or whatever, right? You got your flip phone, right, Chike? Come on, baby! It's all right, but it's worth it, because then you can be mobile. You know, it's hard to steer a parked car. It cannot be done. A parked car cannot be steered. So you have to get out and do new things. Change up your routine so that you can be like the wind and so that God can use you in more areas. This is a characteristic of the kingdom. You see, the person stuck on the side of the road, be like the wind and help them out. Be free, be mobile. Wind is free. Wind is not stuck in a rut. You do not have to move across the country. I'm not saying that. But you do need to be spontaneous and mobile and free like the wind. It is a kingdom characteristic that Jesus says is a truth. Amen. Number two. Kingdom characteristic number two is being real. Go to Mark chapter 10. First one was being mobile. Second one is being real. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to start here in verse 17. It reads, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell to his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What a question. Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. So here is a very impressive young man. Lots of money, and a very upright guy, and he was also humble, right? He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Help me. Show me. And Jesus said, you know what the commandments are? And the guy's like, I've done it. I've done that since I was a small child. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. And he said, one thing you lack. Jesus was incredibly real with this guy. Jesus could have said, man, not even my disciples were like that. I wish my disciples were like you. Had money and obeyed God since a child. He doesn't say that. He was real with the man, and he says, I know what it is. And I'm going to tell you, you need to go sell everything you have. The man was sad. But Jesus loved him by telling him that. You see, if Jesus did not tell this young man the thing he lacked, he would not have been loving him. Because, let's say, Jesus never said it. He said, bro, you're doing a great job. Continue, keep doing that. The guy would have been like, oh man, this is great. And then come judgment day, Jesus would have said, you know what, you put money over me. Get away from me, you evildoer. And it would have been like, what are you talking about? I asked you. I went to you. And you didn't tell me. Do you hate me? You must hate me. See, Jesus loved him by being real with him, by telling him the truth. Do you love like Jesus loves? Are you real? Or are you too concerned or afraid to tell the truth? And you may say to yourself, well, if someone came up to me and said, hey, study the Bible with me, show me what I need to change, tell me what I'm lacking, then I would tell them. But no one really does that to me, so, you know, those opportunities don't really come around. Well, I beg to differ. You know that coworker, or that friend or that family member that's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, and you see them cursing. You may see them go take their cigarette break or hear them gossiping. Are you real with them? Are you real? And going, you know what? Bro, I love your heart, man. You know, I'm glad that you're telling me that you're a Christian, but this is not like Jesus, and you must change this. Are you real with them? That's what Jesus was. And isn't he our king? Isn't he the king of this kingdom? We have to be like him. Take the opportunity God gives you. They're all around you. If you just open up your eyes and you see all the opportunities, you see the people with the cross on, it's like, oh, hey, do you know what that means? Yeah, I mean, it's the cross. Take the opportunities. It's so easy. They're right there. Love these people enough to be hated. That's what we're really afraid of. That's why we don't say it. Because we're like, man, they're not going to like me. Who cares? I didn't sign up to be liked. I didn't say in Jesus' name so that everybody will like me. Right? So why continue that? That's the only reason you haven't talked to them. You know, what I've been doing lately when I walk around and talk to people is that I'll go up to them and I'm like, hey, man, what's up? I'm Steven. What's your name? And they're like, whatever. I'm Joe. Hey, Joe, I'm just going around asking people how they define a Christian. And they're like, oh, a Christian, huh? Well, I guess that's someone that believes in God. Oh, man, you know what? That's a great answer, bro. I love that. You know, not too long ago, I couldn't tell you what a Christian was. And then I started reading the Bible, and I finally find the definition of what a Christian is from the Scriptures. Don't you think our definition should come from the Scriptures? And they always say, well, yeah. And I'm like, would you want to sit down and look at what the Bible says? And you're like, and you know, you'll get all different kind of varied answers. You know, I've asked people, and they'll get vulnerable really quick. Really quick. It's just such a simple question. Do it this week. It will blow your mind. It just gets straight to the point. People know what you want to talk about. And you're asking their opinion so they don't feel attacked. They don't feel awkward or weird. They're like, oh, well, I know what a Christian is. Or they may even tell you that they don't know what a Christian is. You know, I've had several different opportunities to be real with people. You know, I've asked them, what is a Christian? Like, well, I'm a Catholic. And I go, is there a difference? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, why don't you know? Shouldn't you know if there's a difference? I mean, it's just very easy to be real. You know, I've had people that they said, I don't know, but I am a Christian. And I go, well, how can you not know what you are? You know, do you hear like a brain surgeon? Like, hey, man, how would you define your job? Well, I don't know. I mean, I put on this little mask and I go in there and I do stuff, you know? But that's stuff I say to them, and they start thinking. They're like, wow, that is weird. You know, ask them, when did you become a Christian? They're like, well, I guess I was born a Christian. And it's like, can you be born a Christian? You know, there's Blake and I went around sharing, and this one girl said, you know what, I really want to get closer to God, but I'm scared. I mean, it was a 2-minute conversation. I was like, I totally understand you. I was there also. I mean, you just connect with people very quickly. And there's other people that I'm like, you know, would you want to get in the Bible? And they're like, I feel really bad saying I don't, but I don't. I'm like, well, at least I'm not wasting my time and wasting your time. But you should really read the Bible. You know, what other areas can we be real in? You can be real in your discipling, right? From the scriptures, not from your opinions, right? From the scriptures. Have a Bible study ready and set up, right? You know the character issues or the sin of the person you're getting with. It's not a surprise. You're not like, well, I mean, this guy's like perfect. He has nothing to grow in, or she has nothing to grow in. You know what they are, so put a Bible study together. And get real. Don't just sit there and talk, how was your week? Oh man, that's so great to hear about your week. Here's my week. And that's kind of it. You're like, great discipling time. See you next week. That was awesome. But get real. Love them enough to be real. Be real with your spouse. You know, Roxanne called me out the other week. Yeah, I was like, whoa, hey now. She told me with a straight face and very, very serious, she said, you are being deceitful and I can't stand it. And I was like, I was like, you're so right. I don't want to be deceitful. But she was real with me. She could have been there just like upset. Why won't he change? But she was like, all right, I got to say something. And I'm so grateful. She told me I had to stop. Being real with yourself. Where am I at? How am I doing? What do I need to change? You need to look at the scriptures and not make excuses for yourself, but be real. Like, I know it says that, but does that really apply to me? I mean, I used to do that stuff, so do I have to do it now? I mean, be real with yourself. That's the really difficult one. Right? We justify stuff all day, every day. Like, well, no, I'm good. I prayed. I read. I don't really need to change stuff. But be real with yourself and be like, you know what? I'm not where I need to be. Or I'm not where I want to be. I need help. I need to get open and I need to repent. You will not change what you do not face. How are your finances? Do you even know where your finances are at? What are you doing with the money that God has given you? How is your health? You know, there's people that look fit, but man, there's some bad things going on inside. So it's not just about the outward appearance, but how is your health? Are you taking care of your temple? Are you taking care of your body? Are you making excuses? Or you say, I'll do that later. How is your marriage? You know, the women will really quickly tell you how the marriage is, but brothers, how's the marriage? We got to be real with ourselves. I'm like, man, it's great. It's awesome. And then you ask the wife, like, what's going on, you know? Help us out. What's going on? How's your parenting? You know, you got to get real. Jesus did. It's a kingdom characteristic. Being mobile and being real. The third one is selfless. Being selfless. Philippians chapter 2. This is probably like the best scripture on being selfless. I mean, Philippians chapter 2 is incredible. You can do a weekend of Philippians chapter 2. I mean, it is vast. So I'm just scratching the surface, just to let you know, okay? All these things are just scratching the surface. We got to study these out. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I feel like I need to read that again. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. We'll stop right there. Jesus is the King of the kingdom, and we must be like him. You see, Jesus was the ultimate example of being selfless. He considered others better than himself. And that's what humility is. It is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Jesus was not mopey and sad and like, man, you know what? I need to be really humble so I can't do anything and I'm not capable and you guys are so much cooler than I am. And no, Jesus knew who he was. And he stood up with confidence. And he called people to obey God. But he considered others better than himself. He was not thinking about himself and his own interests. He was thinking about others. And that's how you and I need to be. We can have confidence and walk in a room and have our chest up and are not sad and mopey. But we can still consider others better than ourselves. And we're not going in there, man, let's see how awesome I am. All right. We're going in there like, I need to help these people. How can I serve these people? How can I reach these people? You know, we know Sir Isaac Newton, right? The falling of the apple. And he was like, a little light bulb went off. Like, hey, why did that just happen? You know, Newton discovered and introduced the laws of gravity in the 1600s, which revolutionized astronomical studies. But few know that if it wasn't for Edmund Halley, the world might have never learned from Newton. It was Halley who challenged Newton to think through his original notions. Halley corrected Newton's mathematical errors. And he prepared geometrical figures to support his discoveries. Halley coaxed the hesitant Newton to write his great work, Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy. He pushed him. He said, you need to write this. He was the guy behind it. Halley edited and supervised the publication, and he actually financed and printed it, even though Newton was wealthier and had more money. Historians call it one of the most selfless examples in science. Newton began almost immediately to reap the rewards, and people started looking to him instead of Halley. He was the guy behind the screen, right? Halley received little credit. Not many people knew about him. And he only received credit after he died. And they're like, that's a comet. It comes around about every 80 years. Let's name it after him. It's Halley's comet. And so because of the comet only returns about 80 years, only few people notice it, right? I think it came around not too long ago, so we won't see it again in our lifetime. You will? All right, bro. You know, Halley remained a devoted scientist who didn't care who received the credit as long as the cause was being advanced. He didn't care. You know, verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to, but made himself nothing. Jesus is greater than all of us. He's the one who's doing all the work, and he allows us to get credit. It's amazing. He said, I will go and I will give it all up for them. I'll do it. I will become nothing in order for them to have everything. I will serve them and love them. And I will obey my Father, even to death. Even to death on a cross. Jesus did not think of himself, he thought of us. You and I need to be like that every day of our lives. With our family, with our friends, with strangers, with enemies, each and every person in our life. It is all right here. You know, that's the question. It's like, how do we get that attitude? It's all right here. All of it. You can study it. You can imitate him. You can surround yourself with people who are like him. Do what Jesus did. Live the way he did. If God can give it all up, so can we. Right? Unlimited power? Are you kidding me? To being needing to eat and sleep and get sick and tired and frustrated and being tempted by sin? God, the perfect being who sin cannot exist around, exposed himself to sin and allowed himself to be tempted? Surely we can give up, right? These little tiny things. It's tiny. God does not call us to anything he hasn't done himself. So what is your list? You need to make your list. What are the characteristics that come to mind? Spend some time thinking about it and write it down. Because we'll forget, right? I'm not the only one who forgets stuff, right? Write it down. Then be real with yourself and see if your life matches up. And if it doesn't, that's okay. Make some changes. Get some help. Get real with yourself. If not, if they don't match up, we need to get mobile. We need to get real. We need to get selfless. These are three characteristics, and there are many more. We have an incredible God, and he has given us an incredible kingdom. Love you guys.
All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for today, Lord. God, thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning. God, I'm just so grateful for this message, Lord. God, I pray as we go throughout our week, Lord, that we will show people the kingdom characteristics, God. God, I pray that we will be bold. God, that we will be humble. God, that we will just go with the wind. God, that we won't stay in one place. God, that we'll just go about your business, Lord. God, I pray as we head home, God, that we're safe. God, be with our weeks. Be with the people who are hurting, God. Be with the people who are going through trials right now, Lord. God, love you so much. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.